This morning I'd like to speak on the topic of prayer. We've been called to prayer, and prayer is really a major topic to cover because it includes so many different things, and there are many different sermons we can offer on prayer because there are many questions that people have about prayer. For example, you may be wondering, why do I need to pray when God already knows what's in my heart? Do I really need to ask? Does prayer really change anything since God already knows what will happen? And can we even change God's mind on something? Those are some good questions. There are also misconceptions. There are some who think that prayer is kind of a magic wand that you wave it around to get what you want. Some think of prayer as a ritual that you go through in order to be on God's good side. And some people see prayer as kind of like God's blank check, already signed. Just fill it in. Just fill it in, and it's yours. And of course, there are others who see prayer as kind of like a parachute. You know, you get into trouble, you pull the string, and hopefully you land safely. It's kind of a safety net. This morning, I'd like for us to look at a portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Let's take a look at that. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" What a great passage of Scripture, and the purpose of that parable is right there at the beginning in verse 1. To show them that they should always pray and not give up. There are other scriptures that teach us how we should pray, what kinds of prayers God listens to, plenty of examples of how prayer has changed the course of history and people's lives and how God has responded. But in this particular passage, the point of this parable is simple: to teach us to pray and not give up. Don't give up. The point is not that God needs you to pray enough times before he finally relents and does something that maybe he didn't want to do. The comparison of the unjust judge isn't to show that this judge, who neither cared about God or man, if this judge goes out of his way reluctantly to do what the widow needed done, to meet her needs for justice, the point is then how much more will God, who cares about you to start with, how much more will God respond to your needs? It's not to say that God is like this unjust judge, and if you just pester him enough, he'll finally relent and give you that whatever you wanted. But it's to say that if an unjust judge, who really couldn't care about anything but himself, finally does what is right, then how much more will God, the living God of creation, who knows you, who created you, who breathed life into you, how much more will he be able to respond to your needs? And the point is, don't give up. Our part is not to have all the answers. It's not to figure it all out. Our part is not to wonder when God is going to respond. Our part is to keep on praying. That's it. Keep on praying. Will God answer our prayers? Well, he will in his time. Will he answer the way we want? Wouldn't that be great? It's possible. It wouldn't necessarily be great. Let me correct myself. If God answered the prayers the way we want, it would not actually be great. Will he answer our prayers? He will. But we can't put God in a box. Our part is to keep on praying. And that's the message in verse 8 at the very end of that parable. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When the Lord returns, will he find a people who continued in prayer, who have kept on believing in the face of some very difficult circumstances even, and have not given up? Yes. Let us pray and not give up. Well, some may say, if prayer doesn't guarantee that God will do what I want, and if prayer doesn't necessarily prevent me from running into problems, then what's the use of prayer? Why bother? And you know, there are people who've been there, and maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're at that place where you have prayed at various times and you're at that place of struggle or need or crisis, and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you're wondering how long, and you might say, why bother? And that's really the question I'd like for us to address this morning. Why? I don't even like to use the word bother. Why continue to pray? What does prayer do? Well, I'd like to offer you some guidance from God's word on this. And the first thing that I note here is that prayer brings us into the presence of God. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, no matter what time it is, no matter what our circumstances, by praying, we are entering into God's presence. Think about it. In the old days under King Xerxes in Persia, you couldn't go into the king's presence unless you were invited. That's the whole dilemma that Queen Esther faced. She hadn't been invited, but she needed to go and speak to the king, and she put her life on the line. You couldn't just waltz in there. Even in the among the Israelites, you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could, and only once a year, and after all kinds of ceremonial cleansing, because that was God's presence. But all that changed. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it tells us that we have confidence. I love that word, confidence. We have confidence to enter even the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We come into God's presence through prayer. We are invited. We have that blessing, that privilege to come to God in prayer. You know, prayer was so important to Daniel in the Old Testament. Oh, there are many examples, but, you know, he risked his life He risked becoming dinner at the Lions Club. Troublemakers had passed a law to make it illegal to pray to anyone but to the king. But that didn't stop Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, you read about how he went into his room as he normally did, and opened his window as he normally did, and prayed three times a day. Didn't matter if people seen him, reported him, took him to the authorities, accused him. That's how important prayer was, because prayer brings us into God's presence. The brilliant scientist, Sir Isaac Newton, said that if he could take his telescope and he could look millions of miles into space. And then he added this. He said, "But when I lay it aside, go into my room and shut the door and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth." That's what prayer does. It brings us into God's presence. There's something special about it. Even in my life, and I'm sure many of you can testify to that, and maybe some of you need to do that on the comments on Facebook this morning, just to encourage one another. Even in my life, some of the most intimate moments I've had with God have been during times of prayer, seasons of prayer, earnest prayer, not just 2 or 3 minutes here or 5 minutes there, but spending time in prayer, dedicated time in prayer. When we pray like that, we are entering into the presence of God. And when we find ourselves in the presence of God, one of two things happen, sometimes both. One thing will happen is that we will experience comfort. I am convinced that there is comfort in God's presence. When we enter into God's presence in prayer and we know that He is there, we experience comfort in His presence. But we may also experience conviction. And that part we don't like so much. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that is part of the reason why we do not spend our time earnestly in prayer, seeking after God. Because, I mean, face it, who likes conviction? You know, just the sound of the word is tough on us, you know. You've been convicted. You know, even I think when you get a speeding ticket, some of you will know this a whole lot better than me. I won't mention any names. But I think it mentioned something about a conviction, you know. It's just not fun. But when we go to the Lord in prayer, we may also experience conviction. And that's not a bad thing if it's changing our hearts. See, because it's when we're in the presence of God that God can speak to us and get through all the rubble of our lives and get to the heart of the matter. Prayer is such an important part in this. We need to pray. We need to experience both comfort and conviction. And we do so in prayer. Prayer not only brings us into the presence of God, I love the fact that prayer helps to keep us on course. You know, I've said it before, the heart is deceitful. You cannot trust your heart. If you do what your heart says, chances are pretty good you're going to sooner or later end up in trouble. I know it makes a great line in movies and Disney stories and whatever else, you know, follow your heart. Well, that's not scriptural, friends. Following your heart, we need to follow God. We need to follow God's purpose for us, God's will for us. And prayer helps us in this regard. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we pray, we're praying for God to keep us on course. The activities, the distractions of this world will blur our understanding of God's will for us, God's purposes for us. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror." We don't even see straight. We can't see clearly. This world is messed up. And our hearts, apart from God, are messed up. And when we get away from the busyness of everyday life and all the noise that is around us, the distractions that would tear us away in different directions, we can get in tune with God. And the Lord will keep us on course. This was so important even to Jesus. If Jesus needed to do this, how much more do we? I mean, seriously. When the crowds of people came to Jesus, you know, I mean, talk about a man who was busy and all kinds of needs of healing from every direction. People were coming to him. But he didn't sacrifice his prayer time, even for the needs of others. I know that might shock you, but look at that in Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses." Those are important things. You would think that that's the highest priority in the world. But it goes on to say, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus understood this principle. We simply cannot keep going and stay on course without taking time in prayer. It's through prayer, listening to God, not just giving him our feedback, giving him our list of what he needs to do for me, but to listen to him, to learn from him. That's what keeps us on course. Prayer not only brings us into God's presence, but while we are in God's presence, we come into harmony with God's plan. Thirdly, prayer connects us with God's power. Not power as in, I'm able to do amazing things, although that sometimes is the case as well, but power to be who we are called to be. Power to have victory over sin. Power to live changed lives. Power to not allow sin to be our master. Romans chapter 6 and 7 and even 8. Sin does not need to be our master. We do not need to be slaves to sin. We try, but we cannot get there because we're not praying. We all get tempted. We all face temptation. We need to pray when we're facing temptation. I can almost guarantee you when you pray in the midst of temptation, you will know exactly what to do, but we don't. We don't mind flirting with temptation a little bit, and then we get caught in it. And then we wonder, well, how come I keep falling? Sin does not have to be our master. Prayer connects us with God's power. Jesus himself, again, the night that he was betrayed, facing the difficult task, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying for strength to carry on, even when he would be bearing a heavy burden. Praying for God's strength, God's power. It's been said that nothing should be done without prayer. Why? Because prayer is the key that unlocks God's power. I love that passage in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. After they prayed. We need some of that shaking today. We do. Prayer is the key. Even Peter, when he was in prison in Acts chapter 12, he's waiting his execution. And the church prayed, and God responded with power. Amazing things happened because people were praying. Friends, more than trying to change God's mind or prying something out of him that we think he is reluctant to do, prayer changes us. It brings us into God's presence. It keeps us on course. It comforts where comfort is needed. It convicts where conviction is necessary, and it connects us with God's power. As far as I'm concerned, those are plenty of reasons to keep persistent in prayer. Keep on praying and don't give up, as was taught in Luke chapter 18. Realizing that God is not reluctant to answer. He doesn't need to be arm twisted, but knowing, having faith that in his time and in according to his good pleasure, he will answer. He will answer you. And when we pray in this way, we come to that place knowing that God is in control. What a blessing it is. We have this privilege to pray. It's a joy. Imagine coming into the presence of God and to be in the place where we can draw close to the living God of all creation. It's a sweet place. It's a place that we are invited to draw near to and enter. An old gospel song said it well, in the arms of sweet deliverance, I shall rest by and by. Of troubles may come, I've had much more than enough. Many the days my path is rough, many the days I wonder what to do. But then I talk to my God in prayer, and he assures me that he's right there, and whatsoever may come, he'll see me through. In the arms of sweet deliverance, gonna lay my heavy burden down, and with my Lord I'll abide. When at last my traveling days are done, in the land somewhere beyond the sun, in the arms of sweet deliverance, in the arms of sweet deliverance, I shall rest by and by. May it be so for each of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there really is no better place to be than to be in your presence. And Lord, while we wait for that time when we will be literally in your presence, in person, you invite us to come to you now in prayer. We have the confidence to enter boldly into your presence. What a privilege we have. What a blessing, Lord God, to know that no matter who we are, no matter what we have experienced or where we have been, whether we've received blessings or whether, as many are, we're in the midst of challenges, that you are with us and that you will lead us and guide us. I pray, Father God, that as you shook that first century church, Lord God, those who had gathered together and prayed, that you would shake us up. We need it. I need it. We confess, Lord God, that we are a people who are set in our ways, who would rather receive comfort than conviction. We confess, Lord God, that we are a people who would get caught up in so many things, so many distractions, that we lose sight of who you are and your purposes for us from what matters the most. We confess, Lord God, that our own hearts deceive us and set us astray, and we need you. Father God, we need to be in your presence. We need to sense your Holy Spirit upon us. We thank you, Lord God, that your promises say that you are with us always. The invitation is open. Give us peace, Lord, in our heart and in our life. Help us, come upon us, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to drink deeply, to satisfy the spiritual thirst within us, Lord. Help us to confess our need of you. We know, Lord God, that you give good gifts to your children. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need, in accordance to your will and to your timing. Help us, Father God, to remain faithful. Help us, Father God, to wait upon you. For those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, we've been reminded. Renew us, Lord. There are some who are struggling deeply today. Some who are struggling physically. Some who are struggling emotionally or financially, or dealing with a relationship that is broken or breaking. Some who are struggling spiritually. Maybe the weight of it all has taken its toll. Father God, these are your children. Father God, may we come to you. May we look to you. May we find rest and peace and our hope in you. To live in victory, to live in assurance, to live with hope, to live with the peace that passeth all understanding, Lord. That is why we come to you in prayer. And Lord, we pray that as we come to you, that you would fill us with your joy, your peace, your strength, your hope, your purposes for us. May they be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, we pray.